And welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries. And at Compass Catholic, we teach what the Bible tells us are the best practices for handling money. Why? Well, in our first chapter, we explain God's role in our finances. And basically, he does not want us to be in debt. That's why in the Bible, you will find 2,500 verses dealing specifically with money. And we use a lot of these biblical principles in our small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Learn how we can help you remove the debt in your life by going to compasscatholic.org, click on Books and Studies, and take a look at Navigating Your Finances God's Way. My name is Steve Holbrook, and as usual, on the other side of the studio are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Now, today, we're going to toss some questions your way, some financial questions your way, and I really want you to put some thought into your answer as you mentally say that answer. So, John, let's get started with question number one.
Evelyn, how do you define wealth in America?
Well, I think wealth has to do with having enough that you're satisfied. But that also says that you need to learn to be content because we can always be dissatisfied no matter how much we have. So I think wealth is being content with what you have.
So does that mean you're talking about money only, or is there something else that is integral to wealth?
For most people, I think wealth would be money, but I believe a wealthy lifestyle includes all areas of your life, as does contentment. What do you think, Steve? What do you define as wealth?
Same thing, the perception is money. How much money do you have?
How much do you have? I remember when we first started out, all we wanted to do was make $50 more a week, and we would be set. Do you remember that?
I do.
That was back in the dark ages.
I do. Yes, I remember
that. We were still doing bartering. We weren't having money. Mm-hmm. But it was just $50 more a week, and then when you get to that, it's just $75 more a week, and then it's just $100 more a week.
It never stops.
It never stops, and that's how I think most Americans live.
So, Steve, what do you think one of the leading causes of stress is in America today?
It's the lack of wealth because I can't buy all the things that I want.
That would be the lack of perceived wealth.
Okay.
Because I want more than I really need.
Yeah.
But you're both focused on money.
Yes. Which I think a majority of the people
wealth.
Are. Which
yeah.
I think a majority of the people are focused in on money.
Well, when you talk about wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll see about that.
Well, you've got a different opinion, huh?
Well, you know, we'll see how that goes. So most Americans don't seem to want to admit that they're focused on money as a key source of happiness. So you guys have kind of gone against that already. But, you know, there was a Charles Schwab survey. Only 11% of the people who responded to this survey indicated that having lots of money was part of their definition of wealth.
That surprises me.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's that low, too, because it seems like wealth would be considered, especially in a Charles Schwab survey, which you would think would be, since he's a financial advisor, you think that would be focused on clients who are dealing with him on financial issues.
Yeah, not just him, his company. But money is a key issue for Americans. Credit card debt today totals more than $1 trillion. That's a ton of money. And student loan debt totals more than $1.5 trillion. What do you think one of the leading issues that develops into divorce is?
Money.
Money.
Money. Absolutely. Absolutely. Basically, the lack of money is a key source of stress in our life.
Or
you agree with that?
Or our perceived lack of money. It's like Steve said earlier, people wanting to keep up with what other people have. Not necessarily that they can't have food, clothing, and shelter, but that they want the newest tech toy, the biggest car, larger house.
No, all three of us enjoy golfing. And it's amazing how many people are never satisfied with the clubs they have. They feel that if they bought the newest club, they would be able to hit it further.
Oh, you mean that's not going to work for me?
I tried it.
You know what I found out? It's the idiot on the grip end that is the biggest problem.
So it's the grips. That's what you're saying.
So surveys have shown that for a couple to be financially comfortable, they need a net worth of about $1.4 million.
When they're ready to retire.
When they're ready to retire. Yeah. Most people who responded to this survey they had concepts that were, in my mind, they were significantly more involved, had a higher thought process than just focusing on money. But they weren't afraid to put a number to that. You know, if you look at the, it was interesting if you look at the generational differences. Boomers said that to be financially comfortable, they needed about $1.6 million. And to be wealthy in their own mind, they needed $2.7 million. So boomers are the oldest group here. You know, they're 54 to 74. They're just about ready to retire. They don't have too much time left in order to save money, and so money is becoming a major point of focus in their lives.
So that's the group that has all the life experience. They've already bought the house and the cars and sent the kids off to college, and they know what money is in their lives.
It's and not, they know how little of it they have.
And how fast it goes.
Okay, so Gen Xers is the next group. Now, Gen Xers were born between 1965 and 1979. They're like 39 to 53 years old. There's about 82 million of them floating around the United States. And the Gen X said that to be financially comfortable, well, they only needed 1.4 million. And to be wealthy, it was 2.6 million. So both of those are just slightly underneath the boomers. They don't have the life experiences that the boomers have. They're not at the same point. So I thought that was interesting. And then we go to the millennials, okay? Millennials said, now millennials, how old are they? They're 24 to 38 years old. All right, so now we're down into the people who are just entering the workforce or who maybe have been in the workforce for 10 years, possibly as much as 15. But they said they needed 1.3 million to be financially comfortable, or 2 million in order to be wealthy. As each population group, as you go from the oldest to the youngest, the amount of money they need to be wealthy or financially comfortable, both categories, drops.
Slightly.
Slightly.
But it's still a big number.
It's a big number, but I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and I hope it's a trend that they continue that way. I'm just wondering that as they get older and they start buying and they start competing with neighbors, that perceived wealth on what they need will also grow to around what the baby boomers consider what is needed.
So you're saying maybe they're needing less because they have a simpler lifestyle.
They haven't experienced, like John said, they have a simpler lifestyle. They haven't experienced the competition like, wow, the neighbors have that brand new car that sure would look nice in our driveway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree with what you guys say. It seems like based on what, we're, you know, if you can extrapolate from the millennials up to the boomers, the older you get, the more money you think you need. And maybe that's because you see other people that are doing things, and you're, like you said, Steve, you're trying to keep up with the Joneses. Or maybe we just get a case of the wants.
Yeah, I hope I'm wrong. I would love to know what baby boomers were, what reception they had as wealth when they were that age.
But one of the things I think that happens when you get older is you start looking at all the things you haven't done in your life and all the things you may want to do before it's too late. So that may be the want for travel or helping the kids fund the college education for grandkids or helping your children out. Or so there's maybe some of that baked into the boomers too.
Yeah, and also I believe, at least my own experience, as you get older, let's say when you turn 50, you start regretting some of the purchases that you made in the last 20 years.
Oh, the stupid stuff.
If I only had that money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the stupid stuff you wasted money on.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure nobody in this sound booth has ever done, right?
Let's carry on.
So how do people who took this Schwab survey actually define wealth? I think this is a little bit on the interesting side. 28% said that they wanted to live, that in their definition of wealth, they wanted to live a stress-free life with peace of mind. And, you know, I think that's really interesting because money issues typically create the most stress in somebody's life. You know, we've already talked about half of divorces are because of money issues. And, you know, there's that statistic that just kind of hangs around out there that says 60% of the population can't pay an unexpected $400 bill.
So did they say that whatever level of wealth they achieved was allowing them to live a stress-free lifestyle? That's when they would be wealthy enough, when they were free of stress?
I think that's the interpretation,
okay.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So 18% define wealth as being able to afford anything that they desired.
Ooh, that's a bad word, desire.
Desire, yeah.
That's like so, a case of the wants, right?
Well, that's exactly it. It's. I think it's definitely, you know, you got a case of the wants. But there's a lot of things that they want to do, but there's a bunch of things that they just might like to do. And I think there's a difference there.
Yeah.
And again, it's how significant are the wants that you mentioned. And 17% said it was loving relationships with family and friends.
So those seem like the people that really have a good definition of contentment in their lives, in addition to understanding the true wealth is not all the stuff and the money.
One might consider that. They might be possibly a little more grounded. Maybe they're more in touch with reality. It's hard to tell what's in a person's mind, especially when they're anonymously filling out some kind of a survey and, you know, nobody's going to know who they are so they can say anything they want to say. You don't know where that's going. Money is just a tool. It allows you to make choices about the things that you want to do. Money doesn't create happiness.
Nor does money allow you to achieve happiness.
That's true, but money can provide you with the opportunity to create memorable moments.
But those moments are only as memorable as you make them. I mean, you can have a memorable moment by having popcorn and sitting in the family room with the kids building a tent on Friday night and watching a movie. It's depending on what you mean by a memorable moment, right?
Well, but a memorable moment can be anything.
Sure. It doesn't have to mean money.
No. Yeah. But you know, you can have a memorable moment sitting on the couch having popcorn, watching a movie or watching the TV about Pope Francis, or you could have a memorable moment because you're in Rome at the Vatican on Wednesday morning and you're actually seeing Pope Francis live.
It depends on what your perspective is, huh?
Well, yeah.
And how you appreciate what you have.
Exactly. And you know, sitting on the couch doesn't take any money. Sitting in a chair in St. Peter's Square watching Pope Francis takes a lot of money because you got to get there. You can't just walk around the corner. So money doesn't create the moments, and money doesn't equal happiness.
There are so many couples and individuals that we have worked with over the last 25 years that say, if I only had money, I'd get rid of a lot of problems. Well, that's not really a true statement. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, and I want you to learn how we can help you rid yourself of all your debt, no matter how large you feel that debt may be. Go to compasscatholic.org to learn more. John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of our ministry, are leading our discussion today. And the question we threw out earlier, how much do you need to be wealthy? And John, there was an excellent quote that you shared with Evelyn and myself earlier in the week as we prepared for today's topic, and it's from the CEO of United Capital. I'd love for you to share that with the audience.
There's a great quote that was made by Joe Duran, who's the CEO of United Capital, and he said that money is a resource that lets you have choices, but if you don't think about what you are working for, you will die rich, but you won't live rich.
So I assume that by live rich, you don't necessarily mean having lots of money. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know. What is a rich life? Is it a spiritual life? Is it a life where you're constantly trying to do things, more things, other things, What's the next best thing I can do? Is it a life where you're satisfying every single want that you have? Is it a life of helping others? What are you doing to have a rich life? And what does that mean to you? It's a different thing for each individual person.
Oh, yeah, it's very different. Very personal question.
The survey that Schwab did asked people to choose the statements that came closest to their personal definition of wealth. And when they were asked what made them feel wealthy in their daily lives, 62% of them said spending time with the family was most important. And I think that's interesting because that totally goes against the money psyche or the money...
mindset.
Yes, yes, yes. Then the next most important thing that these people said was that 55% of them said, I want to be able to take time for myself. It wasn't generationally dependent here. Both of these answers went across all generations, the boomers, the Gen Xers, the millennials. Everybody had the same comment. So both of those are really interesting. I want to be able to have time by myself. I want to be able to spend time with my family.
Those seem like exactly opposite things.
Well, 50-50 maybe, okay?
Yeah.
But guess what?
You can do those things with or without money.
Well, if you got to work then and earn money to do the rest of your life, then it doesn't work that way.
If you're putting more focus on work than maybe you ought to.
Yes. Maybe it's just a willingness for or a desire to have a simpler life.
Now, I think you hit the nail on the head on that one, John, because a lot of times the focus on work is so that you can buy more stuff and do more stuff and have more stuff, not necessarily so that you can spend more time with family or enjoy doing hobbies by yourself like reading or woodworking or something like that.
So they're focused on things that are created through personal happiness or instead of things that are created just by having money. Does that make sense to you? I think that life's little luxuries, they matter too. I think they're important in our lives, but they're called luxuries for a reason.
What are life's little luxuries?
Well, having meals out or having food delivered to the house, in the response, 41% of the people said that made them feel wealthy in their lives.
Okay, now in my experience, the only thing we've ever had delivered to our house is pizza, which does not seem like the height of wealth. And usually we go pick it up because it's faster. So I'm not sure I agree with this food delivered to the house thing.
Well, it's all in your perspective.
But no, talking to individuals who actually have food now that the restaurants deliver,
yeah,
they do find that there's one less thing they have to worry about is stopping to pick it up on their way home. It's that time. Time is so valuable for me. Any time I can save any few minutes having somebody deliver my meal. I mean, look at the companies now that are sending, I forget what they call it. You make the meal once it's delivered to you.
Mm-hmm.
All you do is pop it in the oven. More and more people are going that route when you have working parents, husband and wife.
Now, I can see the ingredients because that would be a nice thing for me because then I don't have to make the decision about what to cook or what to buy or trying new recipes.
Well, here's another one, and I don't think any of the three of us would agree with this one. 44%, especially the millennials, said that having services like Netflix, Spotify, Amazon Prime, made them feel richer overall. Now, the overall percentage was 33, but millennials was 44. Being able to have those services made them feel wealthy. Some people actually wrote in comments, and I think they're very revealing. Access to health care was something that people wrote in that they said would make them feel wealthy if they had access to health care?
Well, you know, we ran into this this weekend when we were traveling, and we talked to a gentleman whose wife had a knee problem, and she couldn't move her leg. And
she had a major knee problem.
And they couldn't get in to see a doctor, and they wouldn't authorize an MRI. Their health care turned them down, so they didn't have access to a really good health care system that would allow them to take advantage of extra services when they needed them. So I can understand that one. I'm not sure if that was caused by money. It's just caused by the healthcare system.
Yeah, I couldn't understand their healthcare system, to be totally honest with you, but it was a little bit on the weird side. But being able to help close friends and family financially, or some people said they felt wealthy just being able to wake up in the morning.
Bingo. I like that one.
It's better than the alternative anyway, right?
Thanks for another day, God. You know, I want to go back to one of the ones you mentioned, which was being able to help close friends and family financially. I mean, I think it's great to lend a hand if you can, if you see somebody in need, but sometimes that's enabling other people to be non-responsible for their own finances if you help them too much.
I think that's an issue that you need to watch. Because you can become an enabler, and then you're not doing yourself any favors, and you're definitely not doing the people that you're trying to help any favors.
So what other things did they have on their list of making them feel wealthy?
Well, there is some optimism, especially from the millennials, about what their financial futures might look like. 64% of the millennials said they believe that they'll become wealthy, and wealthy from a monetary standpoint, at some point of their lives, compared to only 22% of the boomers.
Well, that makes sense, because the boomers are already out of time to become wealthy. You know, there's not many years left to become wealthy, whereas the millennials have tons of time in order to make their money. Right.
So what you're saying is the boomers have already messed up and they know they can't recover. You know, the die is cast.
The die is cast.
That's why they have kids.
So maybe those millennial kids will help.
Do you have a room at the inn?
Fund their retirement. That comes down to taking care of family financially, right?
It was interesting that 24% for both boomers and millennials felt very confident that they would reach their financial goals. That's an interesting thing, considering that 22% of the boomers only 22% thought they'd become wealthy. So being wealthy is not a boomer goal, if you extrapolate on that.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
All right. The key to having wealth, no matter whether it's monetary wealth, spiritual wealth, or just a rich lifestyle, it boils down to one thing in reality.
Plan it, make it happen.
Have a written plan, not something that you've written in the clouds, okay, because that's going to get blown away with the next storm. But if you have a written plan, and the problem is, like, for example, 52% of the boomers said they didn't have a written plan.
Why?
Because they didn't have enough money to have a written plan. They didn't need to have a written plan for how much money they had.
Well, maybe they'd have more money if they started out with a plan in the first place, huh?
Do you think so?
Probably. What about the other people?
That could be. Then there's other people, and they put the blame squarely on everybody else's shoulders.
Now, how's that?
You know, they don't have money because, well, they don't trust financial planners. Or they don't have money because the 2008 crisis scared them, so they'd rather do nothing than create a plan. And then there's a group of people who thought, you know, all the criminals are going to get a hold of my information, and I don't want any of that, so I'm not going to do anything with it.
So no plan there.
Yeah.
Highly unsuccessful.
You know, I think that basically that group of people who responded like that, they're probably afraid of their own shadow. And if they just get off their duff and be active and take an active role in their life, they could accomplish something. Financial wealth doesn't happen because of luck. except for the 1% or the micro percentage of people who win the lottery, but then they blow it in 3 years anyway. 49% of people said that they have an American dream, they will be wealthy, and 40% said they could get there through hard work. So I think that's a positive step.
But true wealth is not about money. It's about having a good family relationship and knowing you have a rich life independent of financial situation.
Amen.
If you would like a copy of today's show, we have it available for you on demand at compasscatholic.org. Scroll down on the homepage and click on podcast. Also, notes from today's program also available. Just click on podcast summary. And before we leave you today, let's answer one of the emails we received this week. John and Evelyn, I've been told that diversifying investments is a biblical principle. Can you point me towards the scripture on that?
Well, I sure can. If you look at Ecclesiastes 11:12, it says, divide your portion to seven or even eight, for you do not know what misfortune may occur upon the earth. And, you know, in today's economic environment, I think this is particularly astute advice. You don't know what's going to happen. This sector's up and this one's down this week, and next week they reverse, and then the week following, it's just a real toss-up. So the better diversified you are with your finances, the vehicles you're using as savings vehicles, the better off you're going to be.
And I think it's also important to understand your time frame for saving. If you're a young person in your 20s or 30s and you're saving for retirement, you may be able to put more of your savings into a higher risk savings venue than if you're 50 and planning on retiring in 10 or 15 years. So you need to understand your time frame, especially in a long-term savings like retirement, so that you're prepared to ride the ups and downs of whatever vehicle you're using for savings.
Exactly.
Now, if you have a question for John and Evelyn, by all means, send it along. In fact, send two. They love helping out. Their email address is ask@compasscatholic.org. That's ask@compasscatholic.org. On behalf of John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening. And remember, we post a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday morning. This is Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministries.